Jacques Lafaire d'Etaples, Pioneer of French Reform, by Reverend Angus Stewart. As his name would indicate, Jacques Lafaire d'Etaples, 1455 through 1536, was a Frenchman from Etaples, a coastal town south of Calais in Picardy. His surname is sometimes given as Fabry or Fabry, and he is also known by the Latin form of his name, Jacobus Faber Stapelensis. Although this sounds complicated, it is worth bearing in mind if you look him up online or in books and articles dealing with the Reformation, along with the men and ideas that prepared the way for it. Unlike the other individuals treated in this special Reformation Day issue of the Standard Bearer, Jacques Lafaire lived to see the 16th century Reformation. However, unlike the Waldensians, the other party treated in this issue, and the Hussites, the followers of John Huss, Lafaire did not join the Reformation. Indeed, he died in the Roman Catholic Church in France. This makes him somewhat harder for us to categorize and understand. So why is he included in this special edition of the Standard Bearer? Read on. The fundamental difficulty for English speakers is that the primary sources, Lafaire's own writings, are in Latin and French, and have not been translated into our native tongue. Moreover, much of the secondary literature is not in English either. A second issue is the different modern evaluations of the French scholar, writing in 1892 in his 8-volume History of the Christian Church. Philip Schaff writes, "The reformer William Farrell's principal teacher at the University of Paris, Jacques Lafaire d'Etaples, Faber Stapelensis, 1455 through 1536, a pioneer of the Reformation in France and translator of the Scriptures, introduced him into the knowledge of Paul's epistles and the doctrine of justification by faith, and prophetically told him, already in 1512, My son, God will renew the world, and you will witness it." This view of Lafaire as a precursor or pioneer of the Reformation is representative of historic Protestant evaluations. However, in recent decades, the Picard scholars' Reformed teaching and influence have been downplayed by some in the Protestant tradition. Likewise, as Romanism becomes more ecumenical, Roman Catholic authorities speak less of what they used to refer to as his heresies, and instead they tone down his doctrines and applaud his efforts toward renewal within their institution. However, the fullest portrait in English, Philip Edgecombe Hughes, Lafaire, Pioneer of Ecclesiastical Renewal in France, 1984, bucks the recent trend. Hughes traces the intellectual and spiritual development of this many-sided priest, university lecturer, and author from his earlier studies in philosophy and mysticism, 1 through 51, to his later work as a Bible translator, scripture commentator, and reforming theologian, 53 through 197. Both in the eyes of others and himself, 1509 marked a turning point in Lafaire's career, for that year saw the publication of his Latin fivefold Psalter, making the beginning of his major biblical and theological studies. In connection with this key work, Lafaire speaks of his fresh, personal experience of tasting the sacred utterances from the mouth of God as the true food of the soul. The inspired word, he declares, is majestic and wonderful in its light and sweetness. 54. Disregarding the allegorical, tropological, and analogical understandings of scholastic traditionalism, Lafaire held that the literal meaning was now primary, and that it was to be understood in the light of the harmony of the Scriptures. 56. With Jesus Christ being the focus of God's Word. 58 through 59. For him, the all-sufficient Bible is a supreme authority over all human beings, ecclesiastical writings, and church councils. 155. Confer Belgic Confession, Article 7. In keeping with his conviction of the supremacy of God's Word, Lafaire commented on most of the New Testament in Latin. Since he desired the common man to have access to the Word of God, the Picard scholar also translated into French first various parts of the Bible, and then the whole of it. At the same time, Lefebvre and his colleagues realized that the word must also be preached in French. To this end, they published the Epistles and Gospels for the 52 Sundays of the year in 1525, designed for regular use in the parish ministry in the diocese of Meaux, 20 miles east of Paris, where Lefebvre and his disciples were engaging in reformatory labors. These homilies and exhortations, explains Hughes, were brief, simple, practical, and evangelical in tone. 164. In Lefebvre's doctrine and experience of Sola Scriptura, his hermeneutics, his labors as a Bible commentator and translator, and his promotion of expository preaching through producing apostle, there is considerable similarity with the Reformers, especially Martin Luther. Flowing from his confession of the truth of Scripture alone, the French theologian confessed salvation and justification by faith alone in Christ alone, through grace alone, to the glory of God alone, the remaining four solas or onlys of the Reformation. Lefebvre proclaims antithetically that it is by faith in Christ alone, the sole Lord, and by His grace, not through His works or through any creature, that man is saved. Whoever looks for true salvation through the works or through any creature otherwise than through Jesus Christ alone is saying, Jesus is anathema, which is to call him accursed, and does not have the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit gives a man a living and sure knowledge through faith that Jesus Christ is his sole Lord, and that man gratefully acknowledges that it is through his grace that he has everything he has in this world and everything he will have in the world to come. 85-86. Since we are saved and justified by faith through grace alone, with both grace and faith being God's gift to us, all glory belongs to God's grace and mercy alone, and not to ourselves or our works. Thus Lefebvre comments on Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. By grace alone can we be saved, for we are saved by His grace through faith. Saved not because of ourselves, but by God's grace. For grace is a gift, not a work. Unless we should think that the faith by means of which we are justified is ours, even this is God's gift. Therefore we should attribute everything to God and nothing to ourselves, and so we should glory neither in ourselves nor in works, but in God's grace and mercy alone. For Lefebvre, all glory is due to God alone, for on Christ alone was laid the iniquity of us all, so that righteousness and justification, pardon and peace, are of faith and grace, and not from one's own works. 76. Opposing Rome's number one argument against justification by faith alone by its misinterpretation of the second half of James 2, the Picard theologian gives the correct and Protestant understanding of the relationship between Paul and James, page 76, confer page 78. Lefebvre also teaches that the good works performed by God's people are wholly of divine grace, Philippians 2, verse 13, and that believers persevere to the end, Philippians 1, verse 6. Page 86, confer page 192. It was no wonder that die-hard Romanists in France condemned and persecuted Lefebvre, burned his books, 163 through 165, and denounced him as an Antichrist, 130. Some even called him one of the four precursors of the Antichrist, presumably Luther, or one of the four Antichrists then on earth, along with Luther. 131. Whether or not Lefebvre was a cowardly and overly optimistic Nicodemite in staying in the early 16th century Roman Church in France in the hopes of reforming it, a proper examination of this would involve too many historical factors for one article. We can acknowledge his role as a pioneer in French reform, both in terms of doctrinal progress and influence on the reformers. Not only did Lefebvre's teaching on gracious justification help prepare the way for the reception of Martin Luther's great doctrinal breakthrough, but the Frenchman also had a significant hermeneutical influence on the German reformer, as Hughes explains. We read, one of the first to discover and appropriate Lefebvre's hermeneutical principles was Martin Luther, 1483 through 1546, while he was still an unknown monk. In 1885, a copy of the first edition of the Fivefold Psalter was found in the library of Dresden, with its margins profusely annotated in the handwriting of Luther. Obviously, the young German scholar had studied it with great care. Out of all the reformers, it is especially the Frenchman, William Farel, 1489 through 1565, a founder of the Reformed churches in the cantons of Neuchâtel, Bern, Geneva, and Vaud in Switzerland, who was most influenced by Lefebvre, 95 through 96. However, Lefebvre would later be surpassed in his grasp of biblical and Reformation principles by his younger, bolder countryman, John Calvin. Through his work of translating the scriptures, Lefebvre had a massive influence on the French Bible of his student, Pierre Robert Olivetan, 1506-1538, who also translated the scriptures from the Hebrew and Greek originals. The Olivetan Bible was published in 1535 with a Latin preface by Pierre's cousin, John Calvin, 1509 through 1564. Since the Olivetan Bible is foundational to subsequent French translations and was essentially a revision of Lefebvre's work, 196, the scholars from Etaples occupies a similar place regarding the French Bible to that of William Tyndale, 1494 through 1536, and the English Bible. Calvin was also aware of Lefebvre's Latin translation of the New Testament, 73, and even visited the aged scholar in 1534, 196 through 197. According to Theodore Beza, 1519 through 1605, in his Life of Calvin, the old Picard from Etaples told the young Picard from Noyon that he would be used as of God as an instrument in establishing Christ's kingdom in France, 196. Further proof, if it is needed, of Lefebvre's interest and support of the Reformation is seen in a 1524 letter to Farel, then in Basel, where he says, "O gracious God, how great is my joy to see this grace of the pure knowledge of Christ now spreading through so much of Europe," 136. Those were wonderful days, and in God's providence, Lefebvre's work helped usher them in.